The Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad, boys and girls, your weekly alternative and sideways look at the news from me here in Pop Brad, which is in the centre of Europe, namely Slovakia, at the base of the beautiful Tatry Mountains. Unfortunately, it's gone all hot at the minute, and apparently we're getting 20 degrees here next week. My word. I'm Eric Wiltshire, now crossing over to the UK side of things on our version of Eurovision. It's none other than Lee Banks.
How do you do? Thank you for listening to me. I'm here and I'm really happy and it's really hot here. Yes. It is like summer.
Oh no, it is a bit. It's like an Indian summer.
I'm getting naked as we speak.
Gosh.
I have a special introduction for our friend.
What, for Mark?
Yeah.
Go on then, you do it.
Yours, then I'll...
No, right, then. You can. Mark, you have the honours.
This is for you. This is a special Thank introduction you. For you. Okay, yeah. You ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Come on, was. He can't talk while I'm doing it. You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Come was. Oh, you did it again! Come was. So. Salabunge. De Curden Lamwe.
Right.
What the heck?
I have no idea what that was at all. That's Mark Gander laughing in the background from Paris.
It was French, but not as we know it.
Comment ça va, Mark?
Greetings from Paris. Yeah. Mark Gander again.
Yeah. Comment ça va?
De Curden Lamwe. Du bist mein kleiner Kartoffel.
Oh, shut up.
Du bist mein Spiegel Gazette.
Oh, my word. It's toilet time already. Where are we?
Still with toilet. That's my little onion face.
Yeah, right.
Right, carry on. Anyway, can we be sensible?
Have we said hello to you? Have you said hello yet, Mark? In the middle of all that lot?
I haven't said hello. Yes, hi. It's Mark Gander.
Hello, Mark.
Hello there, speaking from gay Paris. Not so gay, but a little bit warm.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Sensitize this show.
I know. Right. Do you know, I got the headline story for this week, because if you've been listening or watching or trying to listen to the BBC, there's currently a 48-hour strike at the BBC, a dispute about pension plans, meaning members of the National Union of Journalists are not working. Well, that's true. Apparently, Radio 4's Today programme was a casualty because it had no news, but apparently BBC's Breakfast News was going ahead. Bless them.
It's a funny thing, that, though, isn't it? When you think the NUJ, of which I am a member, only actually makes up and constitutes 17% of the BBC's staff. Mm. Why the hell couldn't they get a programme out?
Well, I don't know.
When say, things have happened to us, we've got a programme out one way or the other.
Yeah, some of the ways we've done it as well have been amazing. Yeah.
But I have to say that the Radio 4 programme this morning was replaced by Ian, which I get on my internet radio here in Paris, by Ian Hislop doing a very interesting documentary on Lord Kitchener. And
yeah,
it
but that's
was
not
pretty
what you
good.
Expect, is it? That's what you expect first thing in the morning.
You're dead right, I didn't expect that first thing in the morning. Like well, the Spanish Inquisition, I didn't expect it.
There's nothing like waking up with Ian Hislop in the morning. Right, boom, boom. Anyway, like it or not, boys and girls, the news for you today is here, courtesy of Postcard from Pop Brad. We've got some great consumer news coming up. Lee's going on about Facebook. We've got a rather shocking experience. To everybody in France, excuse me, it's called the English Channel. Google loses again. Ho, ho, ho. Something about a tea party in America and some hard-up people sell a letter from President Obama and much, much, much more. But before all of that, look, happy birthday to Martina Berikova, to Vera Benkova, to Liz Metcalf, Mike Knight, who's in Luxembourg. And I gather you got a couple of messages as well, Lee.
I haven't.
Haven't you?
No.
Well, nobody loves you this week.
I'll make a couple up if you want.
No. A couple of quick consumer shorts before we get into that, and you try saying that with ruddy horrible teeth.
Yeah. All right. No, these are two really interesting things, I think. Not particularly changing the world, but just something that happened.
Oh, no, it's toilets. It's toilets.
It's not about toilets. It's about toilet seats.
Oh, no. Go on.
Are you ready?
Mm.
Right. I'm not going to tell you now. All right, then. This friend of mine came to see me and asked if Postcard from Poprad, what is us, right, could help out with a problem he had over his toilet seat.
I told you!
Pardon?
I told you it was going to be toilets.
That's not, it's a toilet seat. There's a difference. You can have a toilet seat without a toilet, but you can't have a toilet without a toilet.
Well, I think
so
that's the wrong way around.
Right.
Yeah.
He took his toilet seat back to Focus, right, which is a major do-it-yourself company over here in Britain, and I think it's also quite around the world. Now, when he went in, he took it back because it was, like, the top of it was coming off and it was all cracking up because it was rubbish, really.
Mm.
Anyway, so he took it in and they told him that, first of all, they said they can't have it back because they don't have a receipt. Well, you and I know that's not right, don't you, Mark? You don't have to have a receipt to get your goods back. That's a load of codswallop.
If you can prove that you got it from them, that's absolutely right. Codswallop.
If you can actually prove that it's there, I'll tell you about that afterwards. If you can prove it's their goods, if they think you've nicked them to take them back, then they should get the police on you. That's a different story. But anyway, what they said, and I tell you what, Eric, he just said the bloody word again. Then.
Well, you just done it as well.
I know, but you say the TWA word, and I, if anything I say, I just get bleeped.
Get on with the story.
So anyway, right, and they said, and we, this is a quote, right, a direct quote, right, you've got to listen to this, even though I do it in a funny bow, so I'm doing it for dramatic effect, right, they said, and anyway, we don't guarantee toilet seats because we don't know what you've put on them. That's what Focus said. They don't guarantee toilet seats because they don't know what you've put on them. Well, I know what you've put on them. And then this bloke did point out that that was a contravening his, what's it, rights. Anyway, so...
His toilet rights.
Yeah, he phoned me up while he was there.
Yeah.
Exactly. He phoned me up while he was there. And I said, just get him to run that machine over the barcode on the packaging. He says, why? I said, because that'll tell them that it's theirs. And you know what? They did. And gave him his money back.
Yes!
Well done.
Well done, that man. Well
this
done.
This one
is a... Is a what?
Really good story. Really nice. Fantastically good story. Another bloke who got in touch with us, another friend, after he tried to buy something off this absolutely fabulous ancient US gentleman's outfitters called Orvis. Now, they're based in Vermont. And have been in existence since 1856.
Right.
And they turn out the most fabulous stuff. And what he bought a travelling journal for a friend off them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that friend was going travelling, you know, pretty soon after his party. But it had to go on order.
Do you realise what you just said?
What?
He bought a travelling companion thing because he was going travelling.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't buy one if he wasn't going travelling, would he?
That's just factual. So, anyway,
he's going forward, actually.
All right, okay, he's going forward.
Are we going to conversate on this or not?
Probably.
Let's use 360 degree thinking.
Boys and girls, if you're confused by this, boys and girls,
out the box.
If you're confused, boys and girls, the challenge this week is to use office statements, the kind of buzzwords that marketing people use and stuff like that, just to annoy Eric.
Okay, well, my door is open on this issue at the moment, Eric.
Go on.
You have the conch, so keep on going.
And I've got you on my radar too, Mark. Don't you worry. Comme moi, sauce de bonge de curd in Namoui.
Mon Dieu.
Mon Dieu.
Are you ready, anyway?
Yes.
Right? So, Orvis is this really good firm, right? But the bloke went travelling, and 3 months later, the bloke who's buying the thing for the bloke, right, the gentleman's thing for the bloke, right, hasn't received it. This bloke's been round the world twice and he's still waiting for it. So he's a bit miffed because he got in touch with Orvis and they said, well, actually, because it's handmade, we've not made one yet. He said, I've been waiting 3 months. He said, well, I'm sorry about that. So he got in touch with me and I got in touch with Orvis and Orvis said, blinking heck, we didn't realise it was like that. And you know what they did?
Right.
Within 3 days, they had supplied him with his goods. And you know what? There was no charge. That was their way of saying sorry. I think that shows.
Oh, well done, Orvis. Yeah. Yeah, good on you, Orvis. Well done. So that's... I always... This is another thing that amuses me. a gentleman's outfitters. Does that mean clothes for big blokes?
Well, no, it's, I actually would look at it this way, that it's actually a big-hearted gentleman's company that actually stood up and did what was right.
All right, okay. Okay, I'll live with that. No problems. Moving along quickly. Loads of internet stuff this week. Currently, as we're doing putting the programme together for you, there's all sorts of problems in America with the internet. Fingers crossed we keep going. And Lee's claiming that Facebook has beaten Google.
Well, I've got to say, Eric, I'm not actually claiming that at all. I looked at it on the list just now and I thought, I haven't got anything to say on that. Because what I was talking about, I have to say, I've probably misled everybody by this. Mm. But what I was talking about was Britain's intellectual property laws. Now that's going to be affected by Google. But we're talking about that later.
We are indeed. We'll come on to that. Okay, a shocking experience. I think this is going to require something like 2 million volts to fix any of our three problems. Apparently, applying a tiny electrical current to the brain could make you better at learning maths, according to Oxford University scientists. They found targeting a part of the brain that I can't even talk, can't even pronounce, improved the ability of the volunteers to solve numerical problems. Who would volunteer to have an electric shock?
Me!
Right.
I love electric shocks. Honestly, I think they're brilliant.
Right.
Just fit your headphones on tightly then, and we'll press the button. <Yeah. here.
laughs> No, honestly, and I don't mean really serious ones, like that will fry you. But you know those little ones, when you stick your... No, you can't say that on air, can
no.
you? When you do things with electric, you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And you just get that little tingle. Well, I think that's like a little orgasm.
Right.
Jesus. Bleep.
Yeah, bleep.
Yeah, just say the TWA word over it.
But apparently this is true. So obviously there's, you know, England might be struggling, but there's still funds around for Oxford University to get people to come in and have an electric shock to see if they can make one and one add three. Marvellous. Mark, we need you on this one in a big time, because ferry operators and coast guards would like to see a blanket ban on the challenge known as swimming the English Channel.
I understand that the French have banned people from swimming from Calais to Dover for quite a number of years. So it's actually a one-way trip, and you can only go from Dover to Calais. And I have to say, you know, what a shame. I can't imagine anybody who's so eager that they want to swim all the way to France taking all that time on the Channel. It's not that good a place to go to, and I wouldn't want to spend that kind of effort. A few years ago, I saw some people, and they were parachuting into Paris, can you believe? Now, parachuting out of Paris, I can understand why people want to parachute out of Paris, but parachuting into Paris, crikey! I mean, these people must be crazy. As far as the Channel's concerned, I think they ought to leave it alone. I don't see anything wrong with doing the swim, and I think at the end of the day, you know, I think that whether it's car traffic or boat traffic, I think they ought to give way to swimmers.
It's the M1 of Europe, isn't it?
Or M25, someone's described it as. Right, but is it?
Can I just ask Mark something on that?
Go on then.
Yeah,
it's only a ban one way, is it? You can get across.
That's exactly right. Yeah, apparently the French banned it ages ago. So I don't know what the deal is, but if they find you on the beach at Calais and they think you're going over to France, I suppose that, you know, they put the cuffs on you.
How's your family going to get across to see you now then?
I really don't know.
Well, that's all right. Now they can come from England to France, can't they?
You can come from England to France, but once you're in France, they don't let you out again. That's it. I just find it very, very strange. And what happens when you arrive on the beach in Calais and you've done the trip? Do they then come along and say, well, you've done it now, and they put the cuffs on you? I think the French have got too much bureaucracy, and I think they've got too much to do, frankly. Or not enough to do.
Not enough to do, yeah. Oh, well.
21 miles, though. It's a good swim, isn't it?
Well,
as I say, believe me, I've been here for 8 years, and it's not worth the trouble.
I like France. I like Paris. I like Paris in the springtime.
Yes. The great thing about Paris is the Eurostar station, which can get you to London in 2.5 hours. That's fantastic.
I just have this vague feeling, Mark, that you're not best placed in Paris. I don't know what's driving me towards that, but I have this distinct feeling that you're not going to get that job in the French Tourist Board this year. as it goes.
I think I am.
Big news this week for Google, who've lost again. Crikey, I don't know how many times they're going to keep losing at the moment. Because
that's just an indication of how big they are, though, isn't it?
Well,
they
yeah,
carry
could be.
On losing and losing and losing, and yet still keep control of the world.
Well, I'm not saying they've got control, because I don't think they have. Google broke UK law by harvesting emails, internet addresses and passwords while collecting data for its Street View Map service, says the Britain's Information Commissioner. That came out this week. They're in serious hot water for it. And what he actually said... or Google said, "We are profoundly sorry for mistakenly collecting payload data in the UK from unencrypted wireless networks." Well, I have to say, if you're Google, with the technology that's behind you, you will have known that you were doing this, so what the heck are you blatantly playing it? Unbelievable.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's turned me into a pervert, because I spend all my time now cruising the streets looking into people's windows on the computer.
Sorry, Mark, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that there's another issue here, because I think the approach of the Information Commissioner here is pretty appalling. I mean, the Information Commissioner is meant to be the guardian of, you know, human rights in United Kingdom, so far as they apply to privacy.
Sure.
When initially a complaint was made to the Information Commissioner, he said that he didn't think that there was anything wrong, and it was only when he was pressed on it that eventually he changed his mind. And now
he's outside his house.
Eh?
It was when they parked outside his house and voted.
Well, that's probably and now he's saying, well, we'll work around it and we're not going to impose any financial penalties. And I think this sends all the wrong messages. I have to say that the Information Commissioner is limp-wristed, and on the Consumer Action Group, we've had several run-ins with the Information Commissioner, where initially he's found on behalf of banks and finance companies, and we've eventually challenged it, and he's eventually changed his mind again. But you know, then always wants to try and settle things diplomatically. You have to encourage the others, and the way you do it is you make sure that it costs them a load of money.
Mm. Yeah, but the funny thing is, they haven't fined Google, have they?
No, they've said they're not going to.
Which is ridiculous.
Of course it is.
The whole concept was ridiculous. How Google could actually set off on it. No, I'm joking about being a pervert looking through people's windows, but I did do a bit of research into this earlier in the week by being a pervert cruising the streets cybernetically and looking through people's windows. And it's now amazing how many actually bounce you away from the houses. When it first went on, everybody's house was there. Now, even whole streets bounce you away.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? But I do think there's a bit of confusion here, because a lot of people are linking the Google thing with other services that are on the internet, and they are distinctly different. You know, if you decide to sign up, and bearing in mind, Facebook is free. You don't pay any money to join it. If you decide to put your data onto Facebook, that's your problem. If you want to use Facebook and its free, gratis services, as it is, that's the way it goes. You know, you've got to be grown up enough to understand that. But with Google actually driving down the road without asking anybody's permission, and furthermore, taking the stuff from people's wireless networks, which we mentioned a lot last week, yeah, it just beggars belief that they even thought it was a good idea. I don't get it.
Well, it is that insidious way. You see, when you talk about Facebook, I know the point you're making, and it's fine. It's a draconian attitude that you have towards certain things. But people put their information and their pictures and pictures of the kids on Facebook generally naively. They didn't. It was just what it was, a social network. We didn't know that it was this harvest ground for private information.
Well, no, it's not a harvest. It's not just the harvest ground, Lee. There was a one of the senior police groups in the UK have actually put a press release out saying to people, please don't put slightly embarrassing photographs of yourself on Facebook, because other people might use them in the wrong way. And furthermore, when you go for a job interview, somebody could actually say to you, well, actually, you were on Facebook and I don't kind of like that. And that's the way it goes. So I think we have to be really careful as to how we use Facebook.
Yeah, I don't think people have really sort of fully understand yet, and I think that there's a big learning curve. And of course, by the trouble is that by the time people have done a lot of their learning, I suppose that all their details will be on Facebook, will actually be in sort of the public domain. It'll be very difficult to pull back from it.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a bit difficult when you get to those kind of stages. But anyway, we digress and we move on. I think the message is the same as we gave everybody last week. Just be incredibly careful with what you're putting up there and think about the future. Because the deal is that the internet, I can't actually say it in the way I would like to say this, Mark, and I'm trying to clean it up as we're going along. No, I can't. If you put something on the internet, it could well come and bite you on the bottom 10 years down the road.
Because that's what I'm saying, though, but we didn't realise this. When we started putting stuff on Facebook and sites like that, we didn't know that.
But it's nuts because it's clearly obvious. If you're not deleting it, who is going to delete it?
No, I think everybody's believed that actually that the information will be handled with respect and the privacy will be respected.
Problem
is that there are commercial interests involved, and I don't think people really understand the pressures that are created by those.
That's right. That's the point I'm making. And the simple fact is that people were naive. People were conned into believing that it was a social networking site, which in principle it is.
But
there's all sorts of things go on underneath and the underbelly of this. And that's what's scary about it, Eric. People don't know what they're doing.
No, I agree with that, but they can't whinge that they don't know. It's the same with any other analogy or similar you want to draw. If you fire a gun and the bullet comes out and kills somebody, that's the way it goes. If you drive a car too fast, you get a ticket. You've got to know what you're letting yourself in for before you do that. And that's my message to people.
When it first came out, people didn't know that. I was there at the vanguard of Facebook, the same as you. Mm-hmm. And you might have known what it actually meant. I didn't. I thought I was just putting nice pictures of myself and the inside of me. You know, there are pictures on the Facebook of the inside of my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody knows what I had at that time. I no longer have that stuff. But people know what I got inside my house.
Sure.
I didn't think that. I thought these people would just be friends. I'm showing a photograph of the inside of my house to my mates. These people aren't your mates. These are people who are just spread across the world trying to see how many friends they can get. This isn't social networking. This is just business.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, anyway, just be careful, boys and girls. Read, funnily enough, I'll do this carefully as I said before, RTFM. RTFM. Do it with Facebook as well. Read the flipping manual. There is a help thing on there. Read the stuff and figure out the safety, security, privacy settings. And if you want to put a photograph up there and you only want your friends to see it, tick the little box that says My Friends Only. Or, in most cases, the entire interweb can see it. So just be careful. Moving along as we get towards the end of part one, sanity has prevailed in America. And I don't believe I've just said that. I really don't.
I don't believe you have either.
No. A Manhattan woman has failed to persuade a US appeals court that Starbucks should be held liable for severe burns she suffered after spilling tea served in a double cup.
Yeah.
Do you understand the double cup?
How could they not be responsible?
Pardon?
Well, you know the McDonald's case, do you?
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah. Yeah,
a few years ago, I think the woman was driving, and she put the cup in her between her legs or something like that. She was driving, and then it spilled over
that's
and burnt her thighs.
Thing. That's a different thing. But
why?
Also, well, it's a different thing in as much that she was acting recklessly towards that cup of coffee between
her thighs. McDonald's were liable. But McDonald's were forced to pay.
Yes, because McDonald's had served coffee at a dangerously hot level, that boiling level, which was ultimately dangerous, and that's why Starbucks are responsible this time. They served something which was potentially dangerous.
No, it's sanity. I don't buy that.
What? What don't you buy?
The woman...
Well, hang on, but Starbucks aren't liable here.
They're not.
The court rejected the case, so they've overturned this crazy decision from the McDonald's.
Yes.
I'm sorry to be so confused. What I'm saying is that they should be liable exactly the same way as McDonald's were liable. That's
why?
What I'm saying.
I can't understand
because
why.
They serve something, because it, she suffered severe burns after spilling tea, which was served to her.
Right.
Starbucks had decided that that was the level of heat that they were going to serve that product at. And
right.
It was dangerous. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, they've been cleared. Well done, Starbucks. And I'm sorry for that little woman who's been severely burnt.
If I'm stuttering, it's because I'm confused.
I'm sorry, Eric.
Is it just me, Mark, or are you following the same track as I am?
Well, I think I sort of have the sort of sense that we moved from one position to the other position.
Yes,
that's all right. I'm a bit surprised that well, I have to say that I think it's the right decision because I think that it gets a bit crazy. I think with people going to buy hot coffee, I mean, I'm very consumer oriented, but I think at some point they'd have to take responsibility of themselves.
Yes, that's my stance on it as well. In that. When you buy hot tea, you know, and if you make the whole experience of using whichever shop you go to is they try and attain the same level as you would get at home. The experience is what's around you. Now, when you make a cup of tea at home, you boil a kettle, and you know, this young lady would have, well, she's older than 21, but this young lady will have known how to make a cup of
cups.
Yeah, you boil a kettle, boil the water. You stick the tea bag in there and your milk and sugar, and they've put two cups on it, which is a very standard thing to do and has been happening for years. And I'm just praying that this is the sanity coming in where people and courts are saying, enough is enough. You do it at home. Why don't you expect it to be the same when you go to a shop?
Because it's supposed to be safer when you go to a shop than it is at home, because people are in an alien environment and don't know what's going to happen to them. I agree with you that there is a sense of responsibility, but this 76-year-old woman went in and bought a cup of coffee in a shop that where she thought she was going to be safe,
mm-hmm.
and she burns herself. Now, she felt that she had the right to sue. In a way, I can see exactly why she thinks she's got a right to sue. And I've not changed stances on this at all.
Mm.
All I'm saying is that obviously Starbucks have been cleared. Therefore, they have no case to answer. What they did, apparently, is right. But
right.
that doesn't make it any safer for other people who go in there and could run the same risk. If Starbucks had come back and said, well, we've investigated this, we don't have any responsibility,
mm-hmm.
but we have made sure that this could never happen again, that's a different kettle of fish.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I think we're on a 2-1 vote here in that I think the judge in America made the right decision, and I think you have to be mature and grown up enough to know that when you go out, if you want to put your finger in the electric plug, it's the same electric plug that you have at home, and it's going to hurt you.
And you're only doing it because it's a little orgasm.
On that happy note, we end part one of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. We'll be back faster than you can drink a cup of hot tea without burning yourself. See you in a sec.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.